Welcome to the Marriage Day Podcast. I'm Jimmy Evans, and in today's episode, we're going to explore the transformative power of prophetic thinking. This kind of mindset can be a tremendous tool in overcoming discouragement and stepping into the victory that God has prepared for us. We'll delve into how to walk by faith and how to remain open to prophetic words from trusted sources. As we conclude, to watch more sermons like this one, click on the link in the description for a 7-day free trial on XO Now. God bless you. This message today is called The Power of Prophetic Thinking. I also call this message How Winners Think. I want to talk to you about your thinking. I want to talk to you about as individuals, a family, as a church, how we think as believers. Hebrews 12 is the text I'm going to be preaching from. And this is, we don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews, but the writer of Hebrews says this: "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endures such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul." So this is a really important text of scripture. And what it's telling us here is we have a lot of people looking at us, you know, in heaven. You know, there's a great cloud of witnesses. We don't know exactly who they are. Obviously the angels are watching us and God is watching us, and possibly, you know, our loved ones who went before us are watching us. But there's a great cloud of witnesses, and we have a race to run. And it says, you know, lay aside the sin, lay aside the encumbrances that keep you from living your life for Jesus. And it says, run your race with endurance, because we all have a race to run. You know, however long that race is, whatever specific task and mission and destiny God has given to each of us individually and also as a couple and also as a church. And it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. The ultimate winner is Jesus Christ. If there's ever been a winner on planet Earth, it is our Lord Jesus Christ. And all winners think the same way. When you look at people who are perpetual winners in any different category, they simply have a way that they think. And according to Hebrews, it's a transferable secret. And so it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. See, here's an interesting thing. This is called the power of prophetic thinking. How winners think, the power of prophetic thinking. When Jesus was in Friday, he was thinking about Sunday. Jesus was crucified on Friday, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. The joy was on Sunday, he was in Friday. See, prophetic thinking means when I'm in the race, I'm not thinking about the race, I'm thinking about the finish line.
That's right.
I'm not thinking about the pain, I'm thinking about the prize. My mind is thinking forward. I'm not stuck in Friday. Even though I'm going through Friday, I'm thinking about Sunday. My motivation to getting to Sunday on Friday is I know something good is going to happen. The joy is going to be on Sunday. And so this is the power of prophetic thinking. And so our perspective, our worldview, our mindset, our paradigm, the way we think will dictate our level of victory and success in life more than any other issue. The way we think, it's just simply the truth. And so discouragement is the number one enemy of success. And when you're going through a Friday, when you're going through a tough time, the devil's always there. It's his full-time job to discourage us. And what we just read in Hebrews, it says, for consider Jesus, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. And see, what discouragement means, no courage. It means the devil comes to us on our Fridays and he wants us to quit. He wants us to give up. He wants us to get trapped in Friday so we never get to Sunday. He wanted that for Jesus, but Jesus knew how to think. Jesus knew there was joy. He endured the cross. He endured Friday. He despised the shame. He knew it was a mockery. He knew it was a sham, all the things they were doing to him, all the injustice he was going through. But he was thinking about Sunday when he was going through his Friday, and the devil couldn't discourage him, because I'll show you a promise that Jesus had that was in his mind a little bit later in the message that kept him from getting discouraged. Our perspective is either what produces discouragement or it builds faith. It's just simply our perspective. And there's two basic types of perspective in life, and I think this is true of all of us, and this could be global, and that is just this is just the way we think, period, and it can be circumstantial. It can be selective. In other words, I'm going through something, and I normally think like this, but I'm thinking like this right now. One of the types of thinking is a photographic perspective. This is called a Friday perspective, and this is the devil's perspective, and this is how he wants you to think. Things are terrible, and they aren't going to get any better, and they're probably going to get worse. Your marriage, your health, your finances, job, friends, emotions, children, sins, failures, mistakes. Here's what the devil loves to do. He loves to show up in our bad moments, take a picture, and say, this is as good as it gets for you. It's downhill from here. Like the Clarendon, that old commercial about Clarendon, downhill all the way. It's downhill from here. And so, now listen to what I'm about to say. Okay, so I started here at Trinity in the summer of 1982. That's how old I am. 1982, 41 years ago. I've never counseled a person who is chronically discouraged or depressed who didn't think like this. In other words, they always do, including myself. Anytime that I have been discouraged, like chronically discouraged over an issue, I'm trapped in Friday. The devil has succeeded. Anytime you find a person, see, being depressed just means I'm stuck in a bad moment and I can't get out. I don't see Sunday. I've lost my hope. This is, you become discouraged and weary in your soul. I'm stuck in Sunday. I'm stuck in Friday. I can't get out of Friday. I don't believe there's a Sunday coming. Can you imagine how overwhelmed Jesus would have become on Friday if there was no Sunday coming? It'd been unbelievable. And so Satan's job is to get us to think in photographic terms. He comes to you as a parent in your child's worst moment, and he takes a picture of your child and just says, you are a horrible parent. Look what you've done. The Bible says if you train up a child in the way he should go, when he gets old, he won't depart from it. It means parenting takes faith. It's going to take a process to get your child where they should be. If you try to produce immediate results in your children, you're going to damage your children. You don't want them running in the street. You don't want them sticking stuff in light sockets and things like that. But character takes time. It takes time. And so when the devil comes to you and tries to discourage you, this is what he does. Photographic thing. Take a picture. This is as good as it gets. You're a failure. You're a moron. It'll never get better than this. But here's the other type of thinking. It's prophetic thinking, or a prophetic perspective is Sunday thinking. And this is Jesus type of thinking. This is the way that winners think. Things are going bad right now, but God has promised me success and victory if I'll trust in him and I'll follow him. Therefore, I'm going to focus on God's promises and prophetic words to me and refuse to believe that my current situation is a final state. It says, run with endurance the race that is set before us. We look at the finish line. Even though we're going through something tough, we know that there's a Sunday coming. And so overcoming faith or defeated discouragement are both products of our perspective and how we think. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, this is spiritual warfare. If you've ever heard of spiritual warfare, this is the essence of spiritual warfare. 90% of spiritual warfare happens right here. And so Satan took us captive in the Garden of Eden by questioning God's word and by introducing toxic thoughts into our minds. Jesus died on a place called Golgotha. It means the place of a skull. When Jesus died, it looked like, if you've ever been to Jerusalem, it looks like a cross sticking in a human skull. Because Jesus, if you're minded and saved, you know, it's good that you're going to heaven, but if you're minded and saved, you're going to live like a lost person. So Jesus came to set, Jesus said, you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. And so it says, though we live in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not guns and knives and bombs. When Jesus fought Satan in the wilderness, in Matthew 4 and Luke 4, they fought, the greatest battle that's ever been fought on planet Earth was fought between Jesus and Satan. It was a battle of thoughts. Satan came with his lies, and Jesus defeated him by saying, it is written, and quoting scripture to him three times. The word of God can defeat Satan every single time. And it says the weapons of our warfare, they're not natural weapons, but it's taking our thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. It says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. A stronghold is something in our minds that's keeping us in bondage. A bondage is a house of thoughts. A bondage is a way that we think that's keeping us stuck in Friday. And we can't, it says we're pulling those things down by the power of God, by the power of God's word, we're pulling them down, casting down arguments. It's Satan arguing in our minds against the word of God. Let me show you what these arguments are like, because I want you to personally experience this. So I'm going to say something to you, and I just want you to think about this just a second. God loves you more than you can possibly comprehend. You are so important to him, regardless of who you are, regardless of where you've been, regardless of what you've done. You're so important to him that he sent Jesus to die for you because you are so precious. That's the value that God puts on your life. Now, as soon as I say that, some of you have an argument in your mind right now. Karen and I, when we first got saved, this is hard. If someone would have said this to me 50 years ago, in my mind, I'm arguing because I'm not that special. I'm nobody. How could God love me? Arguments. Satan arguing against the word of God in your mind. That can't be true. That can't happen for you. It could happen for other people. All these arguments in my mind. And then it said, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Satan doesn't want you knowing God. And so he comes in with a thought that keeps you from knowing God. A lie, a false doctrine, something that somebody told you. All these things like this. If God's a loving God, why do people go to hell? This high thing that exalts itself and tries to keep you from knowing God. And then it says, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Any thought that you don't take captive will take you captive. And any thought that you have not taken captive has you captive right now. We cannot allow rogue thoughts within our minds. Our thoughts are who we are. As a man thinks, that's who he is. We cannot allow rogue thoughts in our mind. And we're all born lost, and we're all born again out of being lost, and we all have to learn to do this. We don't allow rogue thoughts in our mind. In this word, it says, bringing every thought into captivity. The word captivity means spear point. It means any thought that comes into my mind, I put a spear up against its neck and say, you're going to listen to Jesus. Because when it says every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, the word obedience there means to listen under. It means to bow down and listen under. Every thought that comes through your mind, you put a spear point underneath it. You make it listen to Jesus. And if it agrees with Jesus, it can stay. If it doesn't, it's got to go.
That's right.
And you replace it with the truth of God's word. The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. They're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, arguments, high things that keep us from knowing Jesus. And every thought that comes into my mind is going to listen to Jesus Christ. And I'm not going to let anything take me captive. And if it has me captive, I have power over it. And what you'll notice in life is two people can go through identical circumstances, and one becomes overwhelmed and defeated, and the other one becomes encouraged and succeeds. It's a winner versus a loser. And I've lived many of my days as a loser, trust me. I've done it wrong many times. I'm not talking down to anybody. But I'm just saying the way that you think will determine victory or defeat, encouragement or discouragement. So let me talk about the nature and importance of prophetic thinking. Prophetic thinking is thinking that considers present circumstances inclusively of God's word and his promises, the Holy Spirit's voice, and objective godly input. In other words, I'm in Friday, but I remember that there's a promise of Sunday. And I have people around me, maybe the people who've encouraged me or given me a prophetic word. I'm not just thinking about my circumstances. I'm thinking about what the Bible says. I'm thinking about the promises of God. I'm thinking about prophecies over my life. It's inclusive thinking. The photographic thinking is thinking that considers present circumstances, past issues or future concerns without proper consideration of God's word and nature, the Holy Spirit's voice or objective godly input. In other words, it's just incomplete thinking. Friday thinking forgets about the word of God. Friday thinking forgets about all the promises that God has made us. It's incomplete thinking. And so here's the importance of prophecy in our lives. 30% of the Bible is prophecy, and most of it relates to the end times that we're living in. A third of your Bible is prophetic, and most of it's concerning the end times. Well, why would God give, this is the most prophesied period of time in human history that we're living in right now. Why would God give us so much prophecy in the Bible for the days we're living in? Because we're living in a bad Friday. This is a bad Friday of human history. The return of Jesus is mentioned 329 times in the Bible. In the 216 chapters in the New Testament, the return of Jesus is mentioned 318 times. One in 30 verses in the New Testament promises the return of Jesus. Why? Because without thinking about Jesus coming, we can become overwhelmed.
Have you ever touched something so soft you just couldn't let go? That was my first reaction when I got my hands on Cozy Earth's bedding. It's like a gentle embrace, perfect for unwinding after a long day. What do I love most about Cozy Earth? It has to be the incredible feel of their fabrics. It's unbelievably soft, and let me tell you, it's temperature regulating. That means no more tossing and turning because you're too hot or too cold. Just uninterrupted sleep that's just right. If I had to pick one product from Cozy Earth to recommend, it'd be their sheets. They're some of the best we've had. Here's a little something for you. Use the code MARRIAGE35 to get 35% off at CozyEarth.com. Trust me, incorporating these products into your routine will elevate your sleep and overall wellness to new heights. You've got nothing to lose with their 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty. It's time to treat yourself to the ultimate in comfort and indulgence with Cozy Earth bedding and sleepwear. Prioritize your self-care and sleep health. You deserve it. Remember, use promo code MARRIAGE35 for an exclusive 35% off. Visit CozyEarth.com today and sleep better tonight. And that's promo code MARRIAGE35 for an exclusive 35% off. Happy shopping.
We have to, prophecy reminds us. Jesus said, when you see all these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your head. Your redemption draws near. When you're living in the end times and you're seeing the Antichrist spirit everywhere and you're seeing people do things you never thought you would see, remember, I'm just about to come. Prophecy, prophetic thinking is so critically important. This is John 16. The Holy Spirit has been sent to comfort, equip, and encourage every believer through personal prophetic ministry. John 16, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, this is Jesus speaking, he will guide you into all truth. That's just an incredible promise. I mean, just absolutely incredible. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Now, this is talking about you. This is talking about every believer. Okay. So when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to be with you forever, is what Jesus said, and he's going to lead you into all truth. That means anytime you're confused or you need help, you can ask the Holy Spirit to help you, and he will. And he will tell you things to come. What does that mean? The Holy Spirit is your personal guide to never get stuck in Friday again. Because when the Holy Spirit tells you things to come, he doesn't tell you the bad, he tells you the good. I've walked with the Holy Spirit for 50 years, and I'm telling you, he's the most wonderful, wonderful person. He's God. He's so wonderful, so encouraging, so sweet. And he comes to you and you're in a bad moment. He says, don't get discouraged. It's going to be okay. You're going to have the victory. And he just speaks to you to keep you from getting stuck in Friday. There's never a need for a believer to get stuck in Friday when we have the Holy Spirit to guide us out of it. And that's the purpose of him being our life. Prophecy is the only spiritual gift listed every place that spiritual gifts are listed in the New Testament. Prophecy is always there. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the spiritual gifts. Prophecy is one of them. Romans 12 talks about the motivational gifts. Prophecy is one of them. Ephesians 4 talks about the fivefold ministry gifts. Prophecy is one of them. It is a constant in the New Testament and in the Bible that God wants us to think prophetically. And by the way, we're commanded to seek the prophetic gift above all other spiritual gifts and not to despise prophetic utterances. This is 1 Corinthians 14. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Let me stop right there. The word desire in the Greek language is the word zeloo, where we get our word zealous. This means burn hot. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you might prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one ever understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. We are commanded to burn hot in our desire for the gift of prophecy. And the stated purpose of prophecy is to encourage. He who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. Edify means to feed, Exhort means to build up, and comfort means to console. And so it's going to feed, it's going to build up, it's going to console. He who speaks in tongues edifies himself. He who prophesies edifies the church. So I'm just saying, if you would allow it, the Lord would use you at times to speak to other people. Now let me tell you why God would use you. He wants you to be the truck that pulls somebody out of the ruts of a bad Friday. And someone's discouraged, someone's depressed, and the Lord puts them on your heart, and you give them a prophetic word. You can. Now, some people have the concept of prophecy like an Old Testament prophet, mean, austere, spooky. That's not what we're talking about. That's not the New Testament gift of prophecy. And so when you talk about the New Testament gift of prophecy, it's always encouraging, it always blesses. Prophecy equips us for spiritual warfare against attacks of fear, doubt, discouragement, etc. This is 1 Timothy 1:18. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. Let me read that one more time. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. Here's what that means. And I have a book at home that thick by my chair that is my prophecy book that I've accumulated over 50 years. And these are all the words that I've received over 50 years personally. And so when I get discouraged, I pull that book out. And I remind myself of what the Lord has spoken to me, that what my future is gonna be. That's what prophecy is. It tells you what the future is gonna be. And so when the devil comes to you, the importance of having prophetic words, and we have prophetic, I've never seen a more prophetic church than Trinity Fellowship. We have prophetic ministry everywhere. And by the way, we have a class called Hearing God that teaches you how to hear God and how to give prophetic words. And so you need to, if you haven't, you need to enroll in that. But also we have regular prophetic ministry here at the church. We have prophetic teams. And if you're discouraged, go to one of those teams and let them speak to you. And they're sensitive to the Lord, and let them speak to you. And then you cherish that. And so, but you wage warfare against the devil. When the devil comes to get you to think photographically, you pull out prophetic thinking. You fall out a prophecy that you have from God. So let me tell you three principles of prophetic thinking, and I'll be done. Here's how to think prophetically. Number one, don't be controlled by what you see. Walk by faith. The joy that was set before Jesus was in the spirit realm, not in the natural realm. It was on Sunday. Who for the joy? Look to Jesus. You want to run your race with endurance? You want to be able to make it to Sunday and finish your race? You need to remember Jesus, because the joy that was set before him was on Sunday, not on Friday. And so 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith, not by sight. If you could see it, you wouldn't need faith. If I could see Jesus standing right here, I wouldn't have to have faith in Jesus. I mean, Jesus standing right there. If I could see the angels, I wouldn't have to have faith that there's a supernatural realm and we're surrounded by myriads of angels, which we are. It wouldn't take faith because I could see it. But because I can't see it, it takes faith. And so we have to learn to walk by faith. Now, Satan has a prophetic spirit. There is a prophetic spirit. Now, I'm talking about Satan trapping you in Friday. There is a way that Satan wants you to think prophetically. In 2 Timothy 1:7, Paul tells Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind, a spirit of fear. Now, you don't have any fear. You were not born with any fear. The only fear that God gives us are healthy, natural fears. You see a snake, you run. If you don't run, you're not smart. And someone swerves into your lane, you swerve out. Okay, that's because that's a natural, it's circumstantial, it's protective, it comes and goes. It's a healthy kind of thing. But paralyzing chronic fear is 100% of the time of Satan. And fear is a prophet spirit from hell sent to give you a bad report about your future so that you'll make a fear-based decision that God will not honor. Let me repeat that. Fear is a prophet spirit from hell. If the devil's going to allow you to think prophetically, it's always going to be a fear kind of a thinking. It's a spirit of prophecy from hell that is sent to give you a bad report about your health, your children, your future, your finances, your job, your love life, your marriage, whatever it might be. And he wants to take you in the future and show you it only gets worse. You have a bad ending. And the way you deal with a spirit of fear is you realize you have to deal with it as a separate entity. And I've had to do this in my own life. It's not you. You say, well, I'm just,
Jimmy, I'm just a real fearful person. I'm just afraid of everything. You know, I'm afraid of flying. I'm afraid. It's a spirit of fear. It's not you. Stop saying it's your fear. Here's the way you deal with the spirit of fear. Spirit of fear, in Jesus' name, I take authority over you and I cast you out of my life. I'm not listening to you for one more second. You've ruined my life up to this point, and I'm not listening to you anymore. You're a lying spirit from hell. We walk by faith, and if it's not faith, it's not God. Anything that God ever speaks to you will fill you with faith, and it will encourage you. Number two, find a promise or prophecy that matches your problem and focus on it, not the problem. I looked this up. How many promises are in the Bible? That was what I was trying to figure out. How many promises are in the Bible? 5,467. That's the best answer I could come up with. One source that I studied said there's over 8,800 promises in the Bible. So 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, all the promises of God in Jesus are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God. So the Bible's our promised land. You'll never have a situation that you go through that you don't have a number of promises that will set the joy before you. When you're going through it, you're going through health issues, you're going through kid issues, you're going through whatever, there's a promise for that. There's always a promise for that. And see, one of the reasons that the devil wants to keep us out of the Bible is because it is so encouraging, it's so prophetic. You can't read it for long without reading a number of promises that are positive promises. There is a condition to every promise, but the condition is always trusting God and believing that there's a Sunday in the midst of your Friday. So Jesus went through the worst day in human history, which is an understatement. And we know exactly what he was thinking. Because David wrote this in Psalm 16, and in Acts chapter 2, Peter, on the day of Pentecost, tells us that David wrote it about Jesus. And here's what Jesus was thinking about when he was on his way to the cross on Friday. You will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So you're Jesus. And you're being mocked and stripped naked in front of your mother, beaten, humiliated, shamed. It said he despised the shame, which meant he wouldn't receive the shame. And the devil's right there saying, you pathetic loser. Look at you. You think you're the Son of God? Look at you. You're a mockery. Everybody hates you. Nobody loves you. Do you really think that God the Father is pleased with you? He's going to let your body rot in hell. You will never see his presence again for all of eternity. You pathetic loser. Jesus, you're not going to leave my soul in hell. You're not going to let my body rot. I'm about to come back into your presence. He was warning with Psalm 16. We find a promise and we war. That's who we are. I'm not giving up on my Fridays because God has promised me Sunday. And I'm saying this to a lot of people. You're discouraged. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The Sunday's coming. You believe that? Here's number three, and I'm finished. Embrace the gift of prophecy on every level and let it encourage you. Read the Bible. The Bible's a prophetic book. Don't forsake it. Every time you pick it up and read it, it's going to nourish your soul and give you hope. Pray and listen to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to talk to you and he speaks your language. It's not hard to hear God. It's just, we just need to get quiet. Come to the class on hearing God if you've never come to that class before. But the Holy Spirit wants to speak. Prayer is not a monologue, it's a dialogue. And every time I pray, I hear the Lord speaking to me. And the reason I know it's the Lord is because it's comforting and encouraging and it happens. The Lord speaks to me and it happens. It's always consistent. Be open to prophetic words from reliable sources. When someone gives, don't despise prophecies. First Thessalonians 5 says, don't despise prophecies. Don't despise prophetic words. Now, if somebody weird gives you a word, they're weird. But even weird people write sometimes. And so, and don't be weird when you're given a prophetic word, because that doesn't help. But also, be open to the fact that the Lord would use you. And here's how you give a prophetic word. You're praying for somebody and you say, hey, can I share something with you? And I think this may be the Lord, but you just test it. And if it doesn't confirm something in you, just throw it away. But I was praying for you, and I really believe the Lord said that there's a victory coming for you in your life very soon, that you've been discouraged over an issue, and the Lord knows about it, and blah, blah, blah. And just be as specific as you believe the Holy Spirit is. You can learn if you do something wrong, as long as you're always careful and not trying to control and not trying to, you know, dominate a person. As long as you submit it in a kind way and let them know, it may not be God. If it doesn't confirm something in you, throw it away. But let me tell you something. I've done this many, many times. And there's nothing more encouraging in this world than somebody coming back later and saying, you have no idea how that changed my life. You have no idea how discouraged I was at that moment. And God used you to pull somebody out of Friday into Sunday. Bow your heads with me if you would. We bind a spirit of fear and discouragement in Jesus' name. And we absolutely will not live our lives stuck in Friday, listening to the devil's lies. We've done it too long. We've done it too much. And I pray for people right now who are depressed and discouraged and suicidal. We bind fear, we bind discouragement, we bind depression, and we bind the spirit of suicide in Jesus' mighty name. You are liars sent from hell to keep us from the finish line. You are lying spirits sent from the devil to keep us stuck so that we can't run our race. But Jesus, you're the author and the finisher of our faith. And we look to you right now, who for the joy set before you endured the cross, despising the shame. And you sat down at the right hand of God. Jesus, encourage us in our faith today. Let our faith grow in you. And let us rise up today, taking thoughts captive, every high thing that exalts itself against you. And let us learn to think and to act in accordance with your word. I just pray your blessing on every person hearing my voice right now, that we would be encouraged to run our race, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, this is Brent Evans with Exo Marriage, and I want to thank you for listening to the Marriage Today podcast. We believe your marriage has a 100% chance of success if you do it God's way. If you enjoyed today's teaching and want to keep learning, hey, subscribe to the Marriage Today podcast and take some time to leave us a review. Your reviews help us spread the word and can encourage someone else in need. For more great marriage content, check out exomarriage.com, where you can see all of our marriage building resources, articles, and live events.